You want a glass of water?
That's maybe, okay. Just in case.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Pastor. What a delight to be here. This is a answer to prayer. I'm so grateful that the Lord led Pastor Mansfield here. I'm glad the Lord opened up this building. Very nice. And I'm thrilled that the Antonises felt led of the Lord to put together a church, and little did everyone know that it was going to be Comrys instead of Cooper, right? Thank you so much. And it's just wonderful to be here, and I'm thrilled that the Lord led the Mansfields here. God's got great things. Amen. This city is large enough where this building could not hold the crowd. And so this is a great beginning. Amen. And the church is exactly how many weeks old?
7 weeks.
7 weeks old. And I am just so thrilled to be here and been praying for this ministry, praying that God would bless it all and work it all out. And He's done exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Isn't that the truth? I like miracles. Did you know that God performs miracles in 2016? And I know that He does. He's been such a faithful God. If you would just write down every time you get an answer to prayer, you would have a very hard time getting discouraged. Wouldn't that be good? Because God is able to answer prayer. And we're thrilled to be here today. My wife, Anne Marie, is with me. And we have a friend, Beth, from Nova Scotia. She came down here to get some nice warm weather. And boy, was she in for a shock. Because the temperature in Nova Scotia was the same as it was here the other day. So she was like, what? But she's been adjusting. And we've been touring around Texas a little bit. And she doesn't like the inner city. She's used to country roads. So we came through the back way from the town of Gainesville. We were up in Gainesville last night. I spoke there at a Christmas banquet for the Central Baptist Church. Pastor Johnson is the pastor there. Take your Bibles, would you, and go with me to the book of Matthew. We're going to do a little looking around here today. Matthew chapter 22. And I want to draw your attention to verses 41 and following. Matthew chapter 22, verses 41 and following. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, "What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?" They say unto him, "The son of David." He saith unto them, "How then doth David in spirit call him Lord?" Notice the capital L. "Saying, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then called him Lord, how is he his son?" And no man was able to answer him a word. Neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. You know, it's interesting that the Lord wanted people to know who He was. We believe that the Christmas season represents a babe in a manger, correct? There's much money, much is going to be spent here in the next few weeks to commercialize what is called Christmas. Some call it Xmas. That's interesting, isn't it? But many don't even know who Jesus is. Time magazine came out and has come out almost annually with an article on who is Jesus, or who is the Christ, or who is the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you've seen some of those articles. They're still out to lunch about who Jesus is. They really don't want to admit that He is deity, that He is God manifest in the flesh. They don't want to have to submit to the lordship of the Lord Jesus. They want to be able to submit to their own lordship. They want to be considered their own boss, their own leader, their own director, their own God. There's only one God. There's only one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus. And in this passage of Scripture, we find the question, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? And I would like to speak about the subject of the pre-existent Christ. We're going to be talking here in the next few weeks about Christ born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, ascended up into heaven, and is now reigning at the right hand of the throne of God, making intercession for us and all that will call upon him. I hope that many will get saved during the Christmas season. It's a perfect opportunity for us to talk about him. Amen. If somebody asks you, how you doing? You can say, oh, I am so thrilled that the Christ of Christmas is my Savior. How about you? Have you accepted Christ? You don't have to be afraid to talk about that. This is the season to talk about that. Don't try to be politically correct and just say, happy holidays. Say, Merry Christmas. This is the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? If we're ashamed of that, we probably don't know him. To know him is to share him and to love him and to honor him. But what I want to do this morning is I want to take you back in time to the pre-existent Christ. What was Christ doing before he came as a baby? I would like you, if you would, take your Bibles and go to the book of Hebrews. Would you turn with me to the book of Hebrews? And I want to draw your attention to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. I want you to notice verse 4. The Bible says, are you there yet?
Yes.
Hebrews chapter 4. Let's see. No, I'm sorry. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. In verse 4 it says, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Speaking of the angels, okay? For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, and again I will be with him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship who? Worship him. That is, everyone is to worship the Christ. And in verse 7 it says, and of the angels he saith, who makes his angels spirits, and then I want you to notice, and his ministers a flame of fire. Now when we look at this passage, we think of the angels. And in the book of Genesis and all the way through the Bible, all the way through the Old Testament, we find Jesus, and the theological term would be a Christophanies. That is, Christ in his pre-existent state in the Old Testament. This is before he came as a baby. I want to take you to some incidences in the Bible where the Lord Jesus is seen as a Christophanies. Go with me to Genesis, would you? Genesis chapter 16. You know, the Bible makes it clear that Jesus had no beginning or ending. That God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, these three are one. Amen. You believe in the Trinity? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I remember some Jehovah Witnesses came by our house one time, and they were doing their distribution and all. And my dad really got into it with them. I'm talking to him about the Bible and everything. And I didn't hear anything that went on that they had said. But I was up at the top of the stairs. And when they came up the stairs, They were, they were talking to each other, and I don't know how the topic came up, but I said, there's Trinity in the Bible. And they said, the word Trinity is not in the Bible. And I thought the word Trinity was in the Bible. So I got down to the house. I said, yeah, I told him. I said, I told him that the Trinity is in the Bible. And Dad said, you mean the word Trinity? And I said, yeah. And he goes, no, it's not. I was like, oh, okay. I had something to learn, didn't I? Well, we found out. But the word triune God is three in one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And and their argument is has been for years and always will be that how can the Father be the Son? And how can the Son be the Father? How can the Holy Spirit be the Son? And how do they all work? See, God is not limited in His ability. God, if He can hang the world on nothing, He can do whatever He wants. Amen? And we need to learn that the power of God is manifest in His triune state. And this we see in the Old Testament referred to as the angel of the Lord, capital L. And that's where we see the Lord Jesus Christ. In Genesis chapter 16, we find there, if you would look with me, in verse 7, the Bible tells us that the angel of the, notice the capital L, the angel of the Lord found her, that is Hagar. You remember, she was the one that gave birth to Ishmael. And you know, the Ishmaelites, well, we would consider them to be the Arabs of today. And, they hate Christianity. They hate Judaism. And yet, they were from the loins of Abraham. And they need the Lord. They are what we would refer to as the Gentile race. And they need Jesus to be their Savior. Amen. And you'll notice here in this passage, the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water. See, she had been ostracized from Abraham and Sarah. They had thrust her out. And she found herself, notice this, it's amazing, by a fountain of water in the what? In the wilderness. Now, how often would you find a fountain of water in the middle of the wilderness? See, God does a lot of great things. Amen. He can hang the world on nothing. He can create the world in 6 days and on the seventh day rest. I'm just saying, we've got such a great God that nothing is impossible for Him. And here He meets a woman who's been rejected by Sarah. Notice what He says to her here. Notice with me there in verse 7. It says He found that fountain of water in the wilderness by the fountain in the way of Sheer. And He said, Hagar, Sarah's maiden, whence camest thou and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarah. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress and submit thyself unto her hand. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction, and he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all of his brethren. You'll notice the prediction is given here of the condition of the Gentile race, and it's specifically the people that come from Ishmael. Excuse me. And how that they are going to cause difficulty, and the prophecies given in the scriptures, their problem. He's going to be a wild man, and all of this. It's just prophetically telling us what that race is going to be, and they're going to be a thorn in the flesh of Israel. They're going to go against the Christ. Ultimately, these things all come out. But I want you to notice something interesting here. God still loved those people. And in the midst of rejection by Sarah and Abraham, Hagar is taken up by the Lord. You know, there's another time in the Bible where that happened. Remember, Adam and Eve would meet with the Lord in the cool of the evening, and they would fellowship together, right? Well, after they sinned, And they plunged the whole human race into sin. The Lord still came to them. He said, Adam, where art thou? You see, God loves sinners. He loves them. He loves them. And he wants them to be saved. Amen. Just like around here, there's a lot of sinners around here. How many know some? Yeah. And they need saving, don't they? And Jesus can save them. And that's what is so wonderful about the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is able to meet people where they are. Let's go on and look at Abraham. Remember, he appeared to the Lord. The Lord appeared to Abraham in chapter 18 of Genesis. You want to turn there for a moment? It says, and the Lord appeared unto him, that is, in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself to the ground and said, notice the phrase in verse 3, my what? My Lord, capital L. I believe it was the Lord Jesus that appeared at this moment to remind Abraham that through his seed, all of the nations of the earth would be blessed. You remember over in chapter 12 of Genesis, there the Abrahamic covenant was established. And he left Ur of the Chaldees and he went to a place not knowing where he was going to go. But he went in obedience to the Lord. And the Lord said, from you all of the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. And Sarah couldn't bear children. And if you go with me to verse 14, notice 14 of chapter 18. It says, is anything too hard for the what? For the Lord. Here again, he is saying nothing is too hard for the Lord to do. And your wife who is beyond the age of giving children, who happened to be barren, she gives birth to a child. If you go to chapter 21, you'll see that she received Isaac and gave birth to Isaac. And it's just amazing how God put everything together there in the Old Testament. So we see the Lord Jesus to Hagar. We see him to Abraham. Then to Jacob. You remember the ladder where a ladder went up into heaven? Go with me, if you would, to chapter 28. 28 of Genesis. Many of you are familiar with the story of Jacob at Bethel. And verse 13. It talks about he had a dream, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. Verse 12, and behold, the angels of God ascended and descended. So you see the angels ascending and descending on that ladder. And behold, notice what it says, verse 13, the what? The Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereunto thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. So he appears to him, and he's standing at the top of that ladder. The Lord Jesus is looking down, and he again is reiterating the fact that God's going to bless them as a people, bless them as a nation. And it's amazing. And Moses also in Exodus chapter 3. Turn with me there. Exodus chapter 3. We're kind of doing a walkthrough here a little bit. I just want you to see Jesus before his birth in a manger. In chapter 3, we find the burning bush. How many remember the burning bush experience? Oh, yeah. I believe it was the Lord Jesus that was there. You'll notice there in chapter 3 and verse 2, it says, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. That's another miracle we find in the scriptures. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And you remember the story, how that God called Moses to go back to Egypt and to deliver the people from Egyptian bondage. In fact, in another passage, the Lord appeared unto Moses, and he said, thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. That's in chapter 33 of Exodus. This is toward the end of the life of Moses, to where he was able to see the back parts of the Lord, but not the face. Now, we understand that God is a spirit, right? Amen. Jesus Christ is visible. He has a body. He's seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And it was the Lord Jesus that passed by there. And he said, I'm going to show you my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. That's another Christophanies we find in the Bible. Then I want you to go with me to Joshua chapter 5. In Joshua chapter 5, again, we see another passage. And this is an awesome story here where Joshua is... They've gone across the Jordan. They're, that big city of Jericho is there. And honestly, I want you to know that Joshua was looking for strategy. How do I take the city of Jericho? I want you to notice this little story given in verse 13 of chapter 5 in Joshua. It says, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. So you can imagine, here's a man with his sword drawn. I want you to notice what happens here. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? I really believe that Joshua was ready to defeat that man that had that sword if he wasn't for Joshua. Look at verse 14. And he said, nay or no. But as captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come? This is the Lord Jesus Christ appears before Joshua. And he says to him that he is the captain of the host of the Lord. And it says, and Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship, and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoes from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. I want you to notice here that Joshua is looking for a strategy to conquer Jericho. But what is the Lord looking for here? He's looking for worship. You know, many people don't worship God anymore. They never read their Bible. They rarely go to church. Their Bible just sits idle all week. Something's wrong when we stop worshiping. Wouldn't you agree? We must worship the Lord. And he wanted worship more than he wanted strategy. And I want to say to you, in the very next chapter, chapter 6, after Joshua worships the Lord, then he gives him the strategy. Amen. Did you know God has great things for those that leave the choices with him? When we take too much control of our lives. And really what we should do is let go and let God have his way. Amen. Victory Baptist Church just needs the Lord's will. We need to understand what the will of the Lord is. And then do the will of the Lord without reservation. Lord, use me. Speak to me. Help me. Pray for your pastor that God will give him wisdom and direction as he seeks to guide this new church to great victories. Great victories come when we get our strategy from above. Amen. When we find out what it is that the Lord has for us. Oh, I could go on and on. The Lord appeared to Gideon in Judges chapter 6. He appeared to Samson's parents. He appeared to Isaiah. Take your Bibles and go to Isaiah chapter 6. One of the beautiful things about the Lord appearing to Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6. The Bible says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, capital L, sitting upon a throne high and lifted up. And his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain they covered their face, and with twain they covered their feet, and with twain they did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, notice the response of a man that comes in contact with the Lord. Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. You know, when you see yourself through the eyes of God, you see yourself undone, in need of a Savior, correct? But I want you to notice, that's not where it ends. If you go a little further, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with him, the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it on my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquities are what? They're taken away. Oh, there's something wonderful about our sins being forgiven. And thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. It's washed clean. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I. Now, one minute he's saying, woe is me, for I'm undone. Now, you know what he's saying? Here am I. Send me. That's the calling of the Lord in your life. The calling of God's will in your life to serve Him. Did you know all of us are to be servants of the Lord? You're serving the Lord by coming today. You're singing praises to the Lord. That's a form of worship. And our purpose in life is to understand where we are, our need of a Savior, our sinful state. But that's not where it ends. That's just the beginning. Once we're redeemed, then we can serve the Lord with gladness. Amen? If you need to follow the Lord in believers' baptism, join the church, get involved, let's serve the Lord together. Amen. I'll tell you what, there's something about a church. You know, Jesus said the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The only churches that the enemy gets are ones that are not under the leadership and control of the Lord. Because you cannot defeat Christ's church. And what a blessing it is. So, there again, we see God, the Lord Jesus, again visiting and revealing Himself. He revealed Himself to Daniel in chapter 6 and in chapter 7. To Zechariah, He appeared in chapter 1 and chapter 2. Oh, we could go on and on, revealing places where the Lord Jesus appeared. And then, what's really interesting is if you go to John chapter 1, He appeared to John the Baptist. I want you to notice, and by this time the Lord Jesus was on the scene. Go with me to John chapter 1, would you? John chapter 1. Many of you are familiar where it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was what? God. So Jesus is God. And notice in chapter 1 verse 14 it says, and the Word, speaking of Christ, and the Word was made what? Flesh. And we beheld His glory, the glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So now we see Christ coming as a babe. Now we find Him as the Savior. We find Him as the Creator. He was the creator of the world in Colossians chapter 1. We'll get there in a couple minutes. But you'll notice here that John the Baptist makes a statement in verse 36. Notice what he says about Jesus. And he looked upon Jesus as he walked, and here's what he said. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. That's the Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. He's the Lamb for sinners slain. What a Savior we have. He can do away with all sin. The only sin that He cannot do away with is the rejection of His Son. That's right. People that reject the Lord. That is referred to as the unpardonable sin. When people reject the wooing of the Holy Spirit and the convicting power of the Holy Spirit in an unregenerated life, and they say, I don't want anything to do with Jesus. That's a sin that will not be forgiven to that person unless they repent of it and then turn to the Lord. So we see John the Baptist, the Apostle Paul. Go with me to Philippians chapter 2. In the book of Philippians chapter 2. All these scriptures are so precious because they reveal who Jesus Christ is. I want you to notice there in Philippians chapter 2. verse 6. It says, let this, in verse 5, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. This is referring to the self-humiliation of the Lord Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. See, he can be equal with God. But made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Notice, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. He's greater than the angels. He's greater than the prophets. In fact, the whole passage of Hebrews, the whole book of Hebrews, the theme of the book of Hebrews is Christ is better. He's better than the angels. He's better than the prophets. He's the Savior of the world. He goes on to say that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee should bow. Of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is, capital L, Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Oh my. There he is. He's revealed. He's the Savior. He's the one and only. I want to take you to Colossians. Would you go there? Right after Philippians, we have the book of Colossians. I want you to look with me there. In chapter 2, I want you to notice the Bible says, chapter 1, verse 15, it says, who in the image of the invisible God, who is the image of the invisible God? This is talking about the exaltation of Jesus Christ. Notice now. The firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible. The wind out there. How many of you folks can see the wind? You can't see it, but you can see the result of it, correct? The wind comes through and takes trees down, moves houses off their foundations. God created the wind. The invisible, the visible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and what? For him. You were created by God for God. That means you're not to live for yourself. Best thing I ever did was get saved. My wife and I have been serving the Lord together now for 38 years. We gave ourselves to the Lord. Amen. We gave our children to the Lord. Now we're giving our grandchildren to the Lord. Amen. And we're thrilled about it because this is what is that life is really all about. It's not about making money. How many of you like money? I like it. It kind of pays the bills. Amen. But you know what? To live for God is the greatest privilege that could ever be extended. Money comes and goes. The love of money is the root of all evil, the Bible says. Don't set your affections on things down here, but set your affections on things above. Amen. The Bible also tells us to lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Not necessarily down here where moth and rust can corrupt and thieves can break through and steal. My wife and I were thinking the other day, almost every home we've lived in has been burglarized. Can you believe that? So why should we be interested in things? We're interested in him. Who is to know is to know is life. Not only for us, but to those that we witness to. It's life. So he was the creator of all things. By him all things consist, verse 17. That means he's keeping everything going. And he is the head of the body, the church. Amen. Aren't you glad that you're the under shepherd? Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Now here's the statement, that in all things, he might have the preeminence. Does he have the preeminence in your life? Is he really Lord of your life? Is he in control? Are you submitting yourselves to his lordship? Oh, it's so important. When I think of the Lord Jesus, the thought comes of an artist. He's the altogether lovely one. I think of the architect. He's the chief cornerstone. I think of the astronomer. He's the sun of righteousness. I think of the baker. He's the bread of life. Amen. I think of the banker. He is hidden, our hidden treasure. I think of the builder. He's a sure foundation. Hey, I know a lot of people that don't have their life on the foundation of the Lord Jesus, and their life is crumbling. You know, as we came through the country, I saw a lot of houses that were crumbling. You know why? Their foundation was not solid. Christ is the only foundation for humanity. There is no other foundation. He's the rock, and he's the one. He's the carpenter, the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He's the doctor. He's the great physician. He's the educator. He's the new and the living way. He's the farmer. He's the one that he calls us the sowers. We're to go out and sow the seed, and he's the one that brings the harvest. Oh, what a great opportunity Victory Baptist Church has right here. As I drove through here and came and saw this building, I thought, what a great location. What a great opportunity God is giving you to reach, what, over 100,000 people in the greater area? Is that correct?
Well, yeah, there's 10,000 in the town.
10,000 in the town, and how many more can your church reach with the pre-existent Christ? If he can work from day one in Genesis, not that that was his first day, but the beginning of mankind, and if he can bring us right up to 2016, and I want to tell you something about my Savior. He's never failed. Never. I cannot think of one time where the Lord failed me. I can think of many times I failed the Lord. And that's why we need the Lord so desperately. You know, he's got a good track record. He will not fail. When you apply the principles of God's word to your life, you will be a beneficiary of every great thing that he has to offer you. Let's bow together in prayer, may we? While our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, how many of you could honestly, by slipping up your hand, could say, I know I'm saved. He's taken possession of my life. Would you raise your hand? That's so wonderful to know the Lord. Amen. But then to make him known. I really believe that that is so important. That we let Jesus Christ be known. Let's all stand together. Do you want to play? Why don't you come and play softly on the piano? And the invitation is available to you. We've been talking about how wonderful and how powerful our Savior is and how he works in the affairs of mankind. All through the Bible, he was weaving through to deal with everybody that he wanted to deal with. And you know what? When I was 14, he came to my cottage in Round Lake in Sonora, New York, and he met me at that rocking chair. And I got saved. Amen. Are you saved this morning? Do you know Jesus? Are you willing to surrender your life to whatever he desires for you? I'm going to turn the invitation over to the pastor. You come, pastor, and deal as you see fit. But make the opportunity. The opportunity has been given to you to get saved. The opportunity has been given to you to surrender to his will.